Today is May 15th, 1978. My name is Harriet Miller, and today I'm talking to Mrs. Marikos Antonini, better known to everyone in the Alliance Women's Club as Margaret. Margaret, I don't really know that you have a title. You are so much a part of this Women's Club. I've heard you called head cook, but you have been at the Alliance Women's Club as head cook now for how many years?
50.
Mm-hmm. You just celebrated your 50th anniversary with the club, and that was back in January, so now you're going on your 51st year. Do you remember when you first came to the Women's Club?
Yes, I came in January of the year
1928. Mm-hmm. That's a wonderful record, a wonderful record. And if I recall now, you've worked under all but one of the presidents.
That's right.
Of this mm-hmm. Women's Club. So the Women's Club was founded just shortly before you came.
Yeah, about 5 years.
Five years. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, when you first came to the Women's Club, which is a social club, was it different from the way we know it today?
No, mm-hmm. It wasn't.
It was still a social club?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Do I recall that in the days when the club was first founded, we've always served meals here, right?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And they hired you as what?
They hired me as a waitress and helped keep the place clean and help make salads and just all over everything.
A little bit of everything.
A little bit of everything. Uh-huh.
Which is pretty much what you still do today,
yes,
a little bit
right.
of everything. Of the entire staff that works here, now we have let's see, yourself and three others in the kitchen, correct? Who are here daily? No, two others
two.
In the kitchen
mm-hmm.
who are here daily.
That's right.
And then one who would be on call, that's Clara uh-huh. upstairs, and Willie Mae who comes in. And
2 days a week.
2 days a week. And then we have a house secretary.
That's right.
Who answers mm-hmm. the telephone. Mm-hmm. Now, how many people would have been here when you first started?
Well, when I first started, we had a colored chef and his wife and myself and then the house secretary.
So basically, it's
about
the same number of people. Mm-hmm. Now, the Women's Club today can serve, well, I think during this past year, I recall total attendance at one function of 147, which is a lot of meals to prepare
yeah.
in one kitchen. And you would call in then extra waitresses
yes,
at that time.
Right. Uh-huh.
In other words, those four people would not handle 147
uh-huh.
people. And all of this gets done by Margaret,
that's
who
right.
watches uh-huh. to see when you're going to need extra waitresses and calls them in. What else do you do?
Well, I do the ordering, and I take in most of the money, well, the money for it. And now I'm doing the cooking, and I do the planning of the menus and help the girls do the cleaning around here, whatever's to be done.
Seems to me I've even seen you out scrubbing things and pulling weeds and
yes.
just whatever
needs. There's a few little things needs done around.
Whatever needs to be done. When the Women's Club first began, let's go back to 1928, it was founded as a social club, and they served meals. But do I recall that some of the women who founded the club helped to serve those meals? In other words, did they use paid help all the time?
No, their daughters would help, wait table. And then if we had any sewing, you know, maybe they would come in and do our mending once a week and do things like that. The members would do that.
Mm-hmm. What sort of things would we have to mend?
Well, we had the linens. We had all our rooms going upstairs. And they made our tea towels and they made the card table covers, which they do today. And then we had sewing. They sewed here once a week. They sewed for the Red Cross. And we had sewing for the Red Cross once a week. And just things like that.
Mm-hmm. And we still have linens to take care of today,
yes,
too,
uh-huh.
because we use mm-hmm. the linen tablecloths and the linen mm-hmm. napkins, and then a lot of silver to watch over, too,
yes.
and
mm-hmm.
polish. Yes. So it is very much the same as it was
yes,
at that period
it
of
is
time.
about the same.
Now, in 1928, would the Women's Club have looked the way it does today, or this room that we're sitting in the Women's Club is called the Georgian Room, which is the largest room in the club. Would that have been here in 1928?
No.
No. In 1928, what we would have had was the original home.
Just the original home, that's right.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then sometime later on, they added this very large room for serving.
I think it was added in, it started in 31, maybe completed in 32.
I see. Now, prior to that time, where did they serve people?
We served them in the front. In the small dining room, we could take care of 32 at individual tables, four at a table. And then in the next room, which is called the lounge, we could put about 32 in there. And then in the front room, and then we served some of them upstairs.
How did you manage to get the food upstairs?
Well, we took it up and down, up the stairways.
Oh, no.
And put up card tables up there.
Oh my, the stairways are not small stairways. This would have meant quite a bit of running up and down to do that.
Up the front and down the back.
Yes, there are two stairways in the club. There's one at the back near the kitchen and then a very elegant front stairway. That must have been quite a chore, and I would think they would have been very happy when they got the Georgian room.
Yes, they
were.
They
didn't have to do that anymore. Now, what about any changes in the types of meals? What types of meals would have been served when you first started?
Well, I can't see that there's much difference. It's practically the same, maybe new menus, but about the same type of meal.
Would we have had roast beef as often? Would they have had steaks quite frequently?
No, I wouldn't say they'd have steaks as frequently as they do now, or roast beef, but maybe they had larger dinners. We used to have four-course dinners in the evening. Drag it up. We used to have four-course dinners, and the luncheons were about the same. We used to have luncheons for the doctors here in town on every Tuesday, and I can remember Dr. Scranton. We charged him 75 cents to a dollar, and then we had a cover charge. That was to take care of the linens. And Dr. Scranton said, Margaret, he says, I know what the 10 cents is for, but what is the dollar for? You know, he thought he was, well, he was just...
He thought the meals were free.
Yeah, that's right.
So the meal would have been how much? The luncheon?
A dollar.
Mm-hmm. A dollar. Mm-hmm. And part of that was...
Then they charged a 10-cent cover charge to take care of
the linens.
Mm-hmm.
So a luncheon at that time, and what would have been served at a luncheon at that time?
Well, they had maybe a salad luncheon, or maybe we had... A meat luncheon. We'd had a meat and a salad and a vegetable, similar to just what we have now.
Today. Uh-huh. But at that time, it cost a dollar with 10 cents for a cover charge.
Uh-huh.
And our current charges for a luncheon are?
$3.35.
$3.35. Changed quite a bit, hasn't it? Now, you mentioned that in the early days they may have served four-course dinners. What would have been the four courses?
Well, we would have, a shrimp to start out with, or a soup, and then they would have their main dish, and then we'd drag it out in the salad course, and then their dessert.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that lovely? Mm-hmm. What would have been the price for a four-course meal?
Oh, we'd probably run around $4, $4 or $5 in.
And we don't even serve four-course meals today, so we can't compare what the prices would have been, but our dinners run about what?
Our dinners run from $6 to $10. Now, the steaks run around $10.
Mm-hmm. Mm. So it has changed quite a bit. What do you find that people, when they put together, let's say they're going to have a dinner here at the club, what is their favorite main dish, do you know? What do they ask for most often? Chicken? Fish, beef?
Beef.
Mm-hmm.
Either the roast beef or the steaks.
Mm-hmm. They prefer. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. How about lunches? Is there any popular lunch?
No. Our most luncheons include chicken. And then, of course, you know, we have cheese dishes with it now. And today we had cheese... Strata, no, not a real cheese strata was one thing we had today, and then with the bacon and cheese.
A quiche?
Yeah, a quiche. We had a quiche today.
These are very popular. Did we have in the early days dishes that are a little bit more what you would call gourmet? When you get into a quiche dish or a cheese strata, it's different than just meat and potatoes. Did you find that your early menus were largely meat and potatoes?
Yes, they were.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Margaret, when did you become the head cook? You mentioned that there was a man and his wife who were the chef. When did you become the head cook?
Well, really, I've just taken this over since 70, you know.
Since 1970.
70. I help now. I help, but I've been taking full charge because when our other cook quit, we advertised for one, and we didn't get a very good response, so I just thought, well, I'd take it over and do it.
And you've done a very fine job, too.
But I've always helped now. I've always helped, you know, with the salads or helped in the kitchen, either cooking or doing some of the baking.
Mm-hmm. Now, is there a recipe file here from all of these years? And where do you get your recipes from?
Well, from club members. The club members have been so lovely. If they get a new recipe and they like it, they bring it down. Or if they're having a party and they have something in mind that they'd like and they bring the recipe for, I get them from the club members and from our friends. And we get some of them out of the magazines. And
So from many different sources,
yes, uh-huh.
Then you get your recipes. Uh-huh. But your recipes are so well known and enjoyed so much that they kind of become your recipes. They're known as Margaret's recipes, more or less. So much so that now we've just published a cookbook this past year as a club project. And it was called Margaret's Cookbook, and it contained the recipes. Now, this was not the first time that a cookbook was published, was it?
No, we've had two before.
Two before this one?
Yes. Uh-huh.
So there would have been a total of three.
Three.
Mm-hmm. And they were all yours?
Well, with what the ladies gave, yes, with the recipes that we use here.
Okay. From Margaret's kitchen,
yeah.
So
mm-hmm.
to speak. Yes. This one, I think, was probably the largest, wasn't it?
That's right.
Yes. And it was a printed cookbook. I think the other two were mimeographed. We'd had
yes,
to send them
they
out
were.
To a printer. Mm-hmm. Do you remember when they were published at all?
Well, let's see, we had a Ways and Means Committee, and Mrs. Rankins was on for it, and she got them together. I think it was, they were back together about 7 years ago.
Okay, and then one earlier than
yes,
that.
Yes, just a small one,
just
for a Ways and Means Committee.
Right, and this, by the way, was a very successful Ways and Means project this
yeah,
time.
Was it?
Yes, very successful. We were very pleased. Now, do you, in the years that you've been here, it's just amazing that so many dinners come out of that kitchen, not just tastefully prepared, but warm. How do you get the food to the table in such a warm condition? Because you don't use any of these heat lamps such as they have in the restaurants. How do you manage that?
Well, we just keep it on the stove till the last minute. We keep it as hot as we can. Sometimes we heat our plates if we have time or have room for it, but otherwise we don't.
No? And do you maintain it on warm in the oven? If it's something, say quiche, which is a pie that's been baked in the oven, you mean you time it so that it comes out of that oven as it is to be served?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. I'd say that would take some timing. Sometimes. How do you know, let's say in quantities, what to prepare to serve or what to purchase for 147 people? And when do you do the buying? At what time of day or days before? Let's say that there's a function for Friday and you know that there are going to be 147. When do you do your buying for that?
Well, I do it on Thursday.
On Thursday. Mm-hmm. And do you use local markets for that?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to say where you do the most of your buying?
Well, we do the most of it at Hillcrest. That's Ralph Hunt. And then the Buckeye Village Market. And then we stop in at Super Duper up here because it's handy.
It's near the
uh-huh.
club.
Uh-huh.
Right. So primarily from those three markets, yeah. And you would shop the day before mm-hmm. and make your purchases. Mm-hmm. Now, for the first time that I know of in the history of the club, you have a freezer. This year, the board purchased a freezer for the club. How did you manage to keep things frozen if you needed a freezer before that time?
Well, we have an ice cream cabinet that was set in from a local ice cream company, and we used it. And then we have a Frigidaire that it has one side of it, a freezer. And if it got more than that, why, we would take it home. I have a freezer at home, freeze and bring it back.
Which meant you'd have to freeze it there and that's remember it. That you were going to need it at a certain
that's
time
right.
and bring it in. I think that's wonderful, just wonderful. The kitchen that you are working in now would have been the original kitchen you started
yes,
in?
Yes, uh-huh. The original kitchen where we cooked, but where we washed the dishes, that used to be a back porch, and they did that over, and we used it for our dishwasher, and we make our salads in there, but that was the original back porch for the place.
And this means that all these meals are prepared and served in what would have been the original kitchen of someone's
mm-hmm.
home.
That's right.
With just a small back porch area added mm-hmm. in order mm-hmm. to do the dishes, which yeah. is truly remarkable
yeah.
to think that that many meals can be made in that small of an area. And we don't use much automatic equipment, do we?
No.
We have no radar ranges of any mm-hmm. sort. You have basically one very large oven. Right?
Yeah.
A large range unit. You have
a deep fryer
and a large mixing
yeah.
bowl
mm-hmm.
or mixing
KitchenAid,
mixer,
yeah.
yes. And some automatic dishwashing equipment, yes.
Uh-huh.
And that's about all.
That's it.
Mm-hmm. To do all of that.
Well, and a couple electric roasters.
Mm-hmm. To prepare the meals. Mm-hmm. And the meals we serve now, we serve luncheons, dinners. Then we also serve on holidays, which means that in 50 years, how many Christmases or how many Thanksgivings and Easters have you ever spent at home?
None. I've spent them all here at the club.
My word.
Oh.
Have we for all those years served Easter dinner and Thanksgiving
yes,
dinner?
Yes, uh-huh. And we used to serve New Year's. We used to have a tea dance in the afternoon for the club members' children. They'd come to this tea dance, and then we'd have a dinner after that.
Mm-hmm. Now, when did they stop doing that?
Well, they stopped doing that, I would say maybe 30 years ago.
Tea dances for children just uh-huh. aren't the thing that they do today.
No, that's right.
Are there any other functions that used to be held at the club that they no longer
have? Well, we know we used to have Mother's Day dinner too, but they stopped that. They thought it wasn't quite the thing to do when we were mothers too, so they did away with that.
I think that's very nice. It is. It does mean that when a person is employed here, they give up their Easters mm-hmm. for the dinner time and their Thanksgivings at the dinner time. So any of these things that would be taken on would mean another holiday to give up.
Mm-hmm.
Any other functions that they used to have that they no longer do?
Well, we did take Quota Club, you know. They were the regular club that came here, and we had Kiwanis for some time. But the ladies, when Kiwanis met here, the cluttery ladies, would have to meet in the small dining room. And they thought they were the ones that organized the club, and they shouldn't give up this nice, pretty room for the Kiwanis to meet. So we did away. We asked them to find someplace else. And outside of that, I think they're all about the same.
Yes. Some of the business groups that we would take now would be influenced by the Internal Revenue Service regulations
uh-huh.
too,
yeah.
because they've come along and stipulated certain mm-hmm. certain amounts that we may have in what they call outside business. So that would have changed too. Well, in this kitchen where we have such marvelous works of preparing 147 meals in such small quarters, are there any things that have happened in the kitchen that people didn't know about in getting meals together?
Oh, we've had a few small accidents, not too much. In the early years, I used to have a Romanian girl that worked here, and of course she loved to talk, and then we used to prepare our chickens and get them ready, and she would be whacking away at the chickens, and one time she missed the chicken's neck and she cut the end of her finger off. And we laughed about it. We told her she hadn't talked so much, she wouldn't have done that. And what are some of the other things that we've had around?
Did she have to be taken to the hospital?
Yes, she had to have her finger sewed up. Well, one summer day we had the windows open, and we was getting ready for a wedding reception, and she opened, I had gas ovens then, now the stoves are electric, and she opened the gas oven, and a gush of wind came in and just blew it up, and it burned her hair, front of her forehead, burned her hair off, her eyebrows off, and she just said, oh, she just screamed. She said, call Dr. Rutledge, who was her doctor. She says, I think I'm disfigured for life. Well, he came down, took her on the outside steps, and he doctored her up. But she was all right in a couple of days.
Mm-hmm. Was this the same Romanian
yeah.
girl? Why, she had a tendency to accidents,
yeah.
didn't she?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
My. Do I remember that you told me one time you had an accident, either in the kitchen or coming to the club where you fell?
One morning, I think it was on a Monday morning, I came in and it had snowed and I wanted to clean off the steps before we was having luncheon that day. So I hurried up and got the shovel, the snow shovel, the broom, and I went out and I was just cleaning off the steps out front and my feet slid out from under me and I fell down. I knew I'd broke my arm because I had hurt it, but I thought I'd broke my hip. I didn't feel so badly about the arm, but I thought, oh dear, if I broke my hip and I won't be able to get around, but I had just broke my arm.
That's all.
Yeah, that's all.
What did you do after you broke your arm?
Well, I came in and I said to Clara, I said, call Dr. Unger. I says, and tell him I broke my arm and I'm going up to the hospital to be up there to set it. And then I came back down to the women's club after I set it.
After you had your broken arm
yeah.
set, you came down and finished uh-huh. working that
yeah.
day.
That's right.
And I'll bet you were here the next day, too,
yes,
weren't you?
Yes, I think I was. Uh-huh.
Yes. Which arm did you break, right?
My leg.
How did you manage to manipulate things
well,
in the kitchen with only one
still,
arm?
I could still order and help the girls around. And I probably didn't do too much of the cooking, but I could still order and do some of the things.
That's amazing. Amazing. Now, was there anything as far as, now we've talked about accidents to people. How about any mechanical problems that we may have had? I'm thinking, too, of times when maybe these happened when you had a lot of people in the club. Were there any? You had mentioned one time about the time the furnace went out.
Yes, that went out the same night that, I broke my arm in the morning, and that went out that night. And Ruth Hobbs, who was living here then, she called me up and she said, Margaret, something's happened with the furnace. It was about midnight. So I called Mr. Betts and he came in and I came too. And the furnace, I don't know, it was automatic control, but it didn't turn off and it burnt up the whole boiler. And it was just luckily that Ruth Hobbs smelled it and knew something was wrong. But we were without heat in the front part of the house, I think, for about 3 days.
And I suppose this was in the wintertime.
In the wintertime. It was very cold, very cold.
How did we manage to keep
well,
anything warm?
We just couldn't have any parties in the front. And I guess we canceled most all the parties, but in 3 days they had the furnace back running again.
And none of the pipes froze during
yes, we had the bathroom up on the third floor froze up. And I think the one, the little wash bowl on the second floor in the west room froze up.
Oh, my. And Mr. Betts that you called would have been the plumber,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and he came right up. Mm-hmm.
That's amazing. It's very fortunate, though. It could have been a greater disaster
yes.
if
uh-huh.
Mrs. Hobbs hadn't noticed.
Mm-hmm.
When we mention that there are people in the club, we should mention, too, that there are tenants here. There are rooms on the second floor
yeah.
and on the third
mm-hmm.
floor. Where there are people staying. Have we always had tenants in the club?
Yes, we've always. And in years past, we've had all the rooms. When I first came here, Mary J. Taylor was our house secretary, and she occupied the room clear at the far end of the hall, the west room, and she had her office there. Then all the other rooms, all the other rooms, we rented if we could. And we did have at one time a little dining room up where Mrs. Morgan has her living room now. We had a little private dining room up there. And we would have, sometimes we'd have four beds that gone up there. And we had very lovely people. We would have, I remember one time when the Presbyterian built on, they had Gypsy Smith. He stayed here for a couple of weeks. And Miss Alanda, she taught music up at Mount Union College. Madam Alanda, she was from Cleveland. She would come down each week and stay here. And then we had Mrs. Transu, who was a charter member of the club. She was here for 23 years. And Miss Siddle, whose brother was an eye doctor here in town, she was here for, I think, for around 21.
Have we ever had any problems with our tenants?
No, they're always been very lovely, very nice.
We've been very fortunate then.
Yeah.
Lots of times, some of the programs at the club will have people who are rather well known, and I think frequently they manage to find their way back to the kitchen, do they not?
Oh, yes.
Do you recall any of the people you've met?
Oh, well, I've met them all that stayed here at night. They've all, because we take care of them in the morning, get them breakfast. And as I say, we've had such lovely people. Not too long, we had Mudcalf here, you know, he came
right.
in.
Right, this was Mudcat Grant.
Yeah, Mudcat
yes,
Grant.
Who came to entertain.
Yes, uh-huh. And Dorothy Fulheim, she always comes to the kitchen to see us. She's been here on different occasions, different programs.
And she's a television personality from a Cleveland television station.
Yes. And Doug Adair.
Oh, yes.
He's been here.
He's also a television personality from Cleveland. Yes. When you mentioned sometimes they would stay overnight, was it that sometimes program people came in and would spend the night here in the club?
Oh, yes. Yes.
My. Did they come from far away?
Well, let's say in years gone by, maybe the transportation wasn't as good as it is. Now they didn't have the convenience, and then they would stay.
How would they come in? Perhaps on the train?
Yes, sometimes. Now, this Miss Alanda that I told you about, she would come down from Cleveland on the train, and then she'd have classes up at Mount Union College twice a week, and so she would stay over.
So then we would be responsible for their lodgings and also for
their
providing
meals.
Them with their meals. Yes. And the people who are tenants here also have meal privileges too, don't they?
That's right.
So you have to cook not only for the members but for the tenants as well. That's a lot of meals, Margaret.
Yes, well, we only have one now, though, so it isn't so bad.
Just one tenant right
one
now.
One tenant. Mm-hmm.
Yes. But still, have you ever tried to contemplate how many meals you fixed in that kitchen?
No.
It would be phenomenal. I bet it would break the computer even to think about it. Any other stories that you remember?
Well, I'm thinking here. The club has run pretty smoothly for the last 50 years, I think. I really do.
I'd say, Margaret, that as long as you were taking care of things in that kitchen, there's no question but what this club has run smoothly and will continue to do so.
And some of the girls that's been here now, Olga Domicelli, you know that helps. She's been here for 46 years. Of course, she didn't help when she raised her family, but she started to work here when she was going to high school. Then she took time out to raise her family, and now she's helping us again. And John Flood's another one. He started here when he was 16. We used to, when we had large parties, we'd call over to high school, and Gertrude Fouts would send us over girls. And this one time, she sent us, I think, about six girls, and here come this boy, Johnny Flood. And I said, well, Johnny, do you want to wait table? Of course, I knew him when he was a young boy. And he said, why, yes, I'm taking home ec in school. So he's helped us ever since. He's been with us for 40 or 41 years, helping. And Roseanne Morrison, she worked here before she got married, and she's still working for us. She's been with us for 36 years, and then Willie May, who helps does the cleaning. She's been here for 28 years. So I think that's a pretty good record, too.
I think that's a wonderful record. Coming near the end of the tape, and I'm going to stop at this point and turn the tape over. Margaret, we began this tape by asking you when you started with the club, but I didn't ask you how someone found you and brought you to this club. How did you actually get the job working for the Women's Club?
Well, the way I got the job, I came to Alliance and I stayed with my aunt. And in the meantime, I worked for Mrs. Jake Klein. Her husband had the men's clothing store, Klein and Roderick's. And she had a clothing store with Mrs. C.C. Crawford. And on Sundays, I attended the Emmanuel Reformed Church with my aunt. And this Mrs. Mary J. Taylor, who was our house secretary, who was the club's house secretary, she attended the same church. And in seeing me come to church with my aunt, she must have thought maybe I would make her a pretty good girl. So she asked my aunt if she thought I would be interested if she had an opening. And my aunt said, well, maybe she would. So the first of the year in January in 28, why she had this opening, so she called my aunt, and I came over for an interview, and I thought I would try it. So when I went back to Mrs. Klein's the next morning, I told her I had accepted this job, and she was really hurt. And I, not knowing that she was one of the board of directors of the Women's Club, she had me look up all these directors, and she called each one of them. And then she had Mrs. Mary J. Taylor to come up and apologize. But I still thought I would try the work here. So that's what I did, and I've been real happy ever since. It's been hard work, but I enjoyed every minute of it.
Well, there's no doubt that it's been hard work, Margaret. From anyone who knows how warm that kitchen gets when the ovens are on in the summer and meals are being prepared out there, and how cold it gets when the door opens and the winter winds come in, and how you girls have worked sometimes with your boots on out there when it's been so cold in the energy crisis, there's no doubt. But so many of the compliments on the club revolve around that kitchen. The compliments come in terms of the gracious and very capable staff, and also in the delicious meals that come out of the kitchen. So all those 50 years of effort have been deeply appreciated, Margaret.
Thank you.
And thank you for talking with us today.